All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and we have Tim from Black Developments. Tim, thank you for coming on. You're a very busy man, and we've been able to snag you to get you on. So a lot of you guys that are listening are going to really like this one. And yeah, so Tim, do you want to just give our audience just a little bit of a recap about you, very brief, and then, you know, what you do, how you started, all that sort of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, man, we'll dive straight in. I've got some questions that a lot of guys probably want to know. And
yeah. Yeah, mate, same sort of shit as everyone, really. I got started my apprenticeship when I was back into school. I actually got expelled from school, so started off with a bit of a red flag in front of my name. But same thing, mate. Did a carpentry apprenticeship. Always been really interested with housing and building and how things come together. Using my hands, and then kind of adapted into business and running business, and just got caught up in all that sort of stuff.
And
the pressure and all that sort of jazz. So. Yeah, I had about 10 years as a chippy on the ground, running jobs, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Were you working under, so you started what, when you were 17?
I started when I was 17, school-based.
Yeah.
Early 17, school-based apprenticeship.
Yeah.
I was working for a builder doing big architectural homes back in the day.
Yeah.
Just one-on-one, me and him.
Oh, okay. So just you and him.
Yeah. I just, mate, from the start, I was in the mud.
Everything.
Started from what a proper builder should, in my opinion, get taught.
That's how they get learned. Yeah.
Pretty well, yeah. Yep. I mean, my four-year apprenticeship, I built two houses. So, but I did that, start to finish.
Yeah.
Mate, I just learned, in my opinion, a builder. That's how a builder should learn, because you get a lot of guys come out and they
only know one aspect.
They knock up a frame in 2 days and it's awesome, but then you start cladding and throwing a door on and managing guys and it just kind of goes to shit a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mate, architectural homes from pretty well since I was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
I come from a family of builders and guys in the construction industry.
So you didn't work under your family during your apprenticeship? You were working, or was it like a family friend arrangement? Like, how did that
work? I kind of did, but I was a shit kid, real shit kid. So, I mean, I started, then my uncles are pretty hardcore old school builders, kicked me up the arse, so I get back out there and had to go find another guy who would take me on for a bit. And I did that whole thing. But
was it always something you envisioned doing, or was it just one of those things like, because like for me, it was definitely not, like I've preached it before, it wasn't my first fucking option. It was just ease, like same thing. My old man was a builder. His old man was a builder. My brother's in construction. Everyone, that's all we knew. My mum was a project manager for a construction company. So that was it. Fucking, that was my life.
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, like, I was kind of going down like I've always wanted to be a property developer. Like when I was in school, I was doing, business stuff, and they say, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said property developer, probably mainly because I thought a property developer was a millionaire and they drive around nice cars and all that sort of shit. So that's probably why.
And a Lambo.
Yeah, and a Lambos and all that sort of nice shit. You realize it's not like that when you get there, but it was either that or a personal trainer.
Mm.
And I mean,
got the best of both.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, I veered away from that one pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So yes, I've always wanted to do it. Like I said, I've loved building stuff as a young kid. I just like seeing things go together.
Yeah.
It's been hard transitioning from being a carpenter and a builder into being a business owner, developer. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I like to be stimulated. I'm a pretty on the go kind of guy. I like to work under pressure. And you get to a point where, the next step from being a carpenter to being a foreman, to be a site manager, to be a builder, to be a developer. So.
Mm.
I mean, I've always had it kind of in me to do that.
Yep.
How I got there was a little bit less of a straight path than
I expected.
All in all, mate, that's how I got here pretty much. So.
Yeah, sweet. So when you finished your apprenticeship and then you were a chippy, were you still a chippy for the same bloke? Or did you go and work for your parents, your family's company? And then how did that transition go? And did you go through, because what I'm trying to get at, did you go down the path of getting an ABN and like getting guys underneath you? Like, did you go down that route? Or was that?
Yeah, I actually did.
Yeah.
I did 5 years with this guy, finished my apprenticeship. And then I kind of did a bit of everything. I floated a little bit. I got my ABN, worked with one of my mates, but I just couldn't make any money as a contract chippy because I was too particular. I was the slowest framer out there, man. I just, I'd be trying to plumb things up and it just, I did about 6 months. I think I lost 30, 40K because of my wages. It was just shit. So Yeah, I kind of went in around that route. Then I really wanted to start renovating my own houses, so I actually got a job out in the mines as a formwork chippy slash concreter, which is not what I love doing. But, man, I'm 21 years old, getting paid clearing three and a half grand, $4,000 a week in your bank account. It's kind of like, fuck, I'll do anything.
Yep.
So I did that for 3 years. Literally saved like 90% of my pay. Yep. You know, I came back and partied with the boys while I was a young fella for a bit while on the week off. But I just had a goal. I actually had a goal to save a certain amount of money while I was out there because I hated it so much. The day I got paid and got over that threshold, I literally said, get me on a plane, I'm out of here, and I quit.
Yeah.
No one could believe it, but I was like, that was me. Came back, bought a house, renovated it, sold it. That was it.
Rest is history.
Ripped in, yeah.
Yeah.
Loved it. Stressful.
Yeah.
Fucked up a few of them at the start, but...
Oh, yeah. I guess, like, and you're like the perfect guest for us to get on, come on, and I'm like, I'm really, thankful for you to come on, but it's... So a lot of these guys that are young, like a lot of the guys that listen, they're all apprentices, you know what I mean? They're all in that same boat, you know, it's that shit kid that's 17, 18, 19, whatever it is. And, you know, they all envision, you know, the fucking Mercedes-Benz or the Lambo and fucking drinking Peter Carter's on the beach. Like that's what they envision the lifestyle that you're currently in, you know what I mean? And, you know, I know for a fact that it ain't like that, even though I personally don't do developments through the business or anything like that. I just know, like, you know, it's a very minute group that you see like that. And, for the masses anyway, it's a big grind to get there. And, man. But anyway, going back to when you were, how did that transition go? As you said, you just come back, now, you bought your first house. You were currently obviously still, you were doing the rent, like you weren't completely in RMs and jeans just ordering people around. You were very much in the thick of it. Obviously dealing with the financials as well. You know, was there a partner, kids, and how did all that all work and fall into place at that time?
Yeah, back then, no. You kind of, I was in the literally nail bag on every single day. Begging to the bank to give me more money.
And these are all the things that a lot of guys don't understand. It's doing the job, like when you, I don't know, this is my experience anyway. Like I've dealt with banks and, you know, you're a business owner and all this other shit. That's, I feel like that's really the hard part. Like it's all in the numbers and stuff, like, and getting the money. Like the banks don't always want to fucking give it to you.
No.
You know what I mean?
And that kind of goes back on what you said before with, everyone sits there as a, late teen kid, they're like, oh, I want to be a builder, I want to get a Lambo, I want to drive around in a fucking nice house, all that sort of shit. Don't get me wrong, you can do that. Like, this industry is awesome. This industry is endless.
Yeah.
And guys like us, we're, 30 years old, early 30s, man, we grinded, we worked hard. Yeah. I can go out and buy that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, my goals have changed. Mm. So I've gone from being 20 years old wanting a Lambo and a big house to being, 33 years old with a wife and a kid. And just a different mindset of what I want. I don't really want that stuff anymore. I actually like being comfortable. I like being able to send my kid to a good school and take my wife on a holiday and all that sort of stuff. So you can do it.
Yeah.
You can get all the nice stuff, but I think your goal and your perception of what
you want
material stuff is just changes as you get a bit older.
Yeah.
Going back on like kids being not sure about what they want to do and they think it's all glitz and glamour and it can be. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, I guess, that's a good way to look at it. Like, I'm in a similar sort of boat. You know, not that I'd go out and buy a $500,000 car, but it's like you've got the capacity to live a lavish lifestyle if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's whether or not you want to. And I feel like as I've matured, like, on the brink of 30 now, it's like, I've had the mindset the whole way. Like, I've never really, as much when I was 18, I used to see the fucking Land Cruisers and, oh my God, I want this fucking thing. But anyway, like, now I'm not at that point at all. I'm happy to drive a fucking $10,000 or $15,000 car.
Yeah.
I don't care what I drive. You know what I mean? As long as I get to go do what I want with the time that I've got, I'm happy. Like,
and that's based on what you're talking about with the bank, mate. The bank doesn't walk in and look at what car you're going buying, driving, and go, "Fuck you, I'll give you extra money."
Yeah.
But I built $10-15 million homes for some of the wealthiest guys that I've ever met in my life. And to be honest with you, you look at them on face value, and you think, how the fuck is this guy affording this? Like, how's this guy doing this? Because he's just genuinely a good guy.
Just a
down-to-earth guy.
Just a normal guy.
They're the kind of guys that you get to the end of the job and you can build this house for them and it's been, a 2-3 year journey with them. And, mate, they'll literally stand at the end of the job and they'll shake your hand and they'll give you a beer and you'll have a beer with them and, they become lifelong friends.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate against anyone, but some of the guys who look the best, they look like they've got the most money, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. They actually, they're the ones that get halfway through and they're like, oh, fuck, I've got no money left, or can you spot me this month or something like that? And I don't want that to go too far with my clients. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, man, I just don't judge anyone on face value anymore, where I used to, where I was young, and I'd see people driving around in nice cars and wearing nice clothes, and I'd be like, that guy's what I want to be. They're not always that. That's just on the surface.
Yeah.
So.
And it comes down to maturity, doesn't it? As 100%. Well, I feel like that's just a journey that each guy's got to go on. You know, I literally had the conversation. Don't worry, we're going to get back to some of the questions. But I literally had a conversation just this morning with a guy that we just signed him up. And, talking about the normal transition when you're a chippy in Australia anyway. I don't know what it's like anywhere else. But in Australia, the normal transition, apprenticeship, chippy, like you become qualified, leading hand, supervisor, maybe construction manager. And then you either go down the path of running your own show or you go down the path of, you know, property development and all this other stuff. That's literally it. Like there's nothing else. And I feel like when you work for a real small builder, like that's only got 2-3 guys, you know, as you said, you were working right next to the builder and developer before. There's no above him. That's it.
Yeah.
You get qualified, you're done.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, all right. I'm going to go back to some of the questions. So here we go. So when you transitioned from basically being on the tools, you know, I know there's a massive, massive snow. We haven't got enough time in the world. But let's just say you were back to that first job that you did. What was the first one that you did? From memory, like proper, first proper one that you were like.
From like proper memory one. Yeah. I built a house with the guy that I started my apprenticeship with. I built this thing down in Ormiston on the canals down in Ormiston. And I think, this would have been 15, 16 years ago. I think it was like a $3 or $4 or $5 million bill, which back then was big.
Yeah.
Oh, and mate, I was on, I know. Like now you kind of look at me like, it's like nearly every second job in Brizzy these days. But
legit.
I was on that job for 2 years straight from when we demolished the house to when we finished building it. Mm. Landscape, mate, I was putting fucking pots, plants in the ground, like every single thing you can think of.
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing shit that I'd never seen before. I come from a mediocre family. Like, we're not wealthy billionaires or anything. Mm. And, mate, I'd just seen some of this shit, you know, roof tiles from Spain getting flown in and floor tiles from Italy. And I'm just thinking, like, this is fucking crazy, man. Like, who is this guy? Who are these people? Yeah. What is this sort of shit? I'd never seen anything like it, even just living in it, let alone building it. So that one, mate, like, ever since that project, I did that project, I built that house with my own hands. That was when I said, man, this shit's sick. I want to do this every single day.
Yeah.
I just want to keep going up and up and up. And that's why I can't do the cookie cutter stuff. Yeah. That's why I'm too particular with boxes.
So that was like your first like proper deal, like your first transaction.
That was working for me doing my apprenticeship at the time.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'll always remember every single meticulous detail about that house.
Yeah.
Because I just sponged. Yeah. I was so interested. I was so keen. I just loved everything about it. And
yeah.
You know, that was probably the most memorable one of me kind of pre running my own company.
Yeah.
And I was an apprentice, so I was just kind of on the back seat of the car, really. But
You
just remember those one. Everyone has that
100%,
one job.
100%.
Yeah. That was it.
That's good. All right. So when you were on the tools and you've now, you're obviously not on the tools anymore. You got like what? How many staff have you got now? Like paint the guys a little bit of a picture.
22.
Yeah.
22, but no word of a lie, mate. Some days I actually would just love to just go out and be with the boys again. Like I do have 22 really good staff. I must admit I am quite lucky.
Yeah.
My business partner been with me for 10, 11 years. Mm-hmm. A couple of our guys have been with us for not far off that. So
yeah.
And then I'm a big believer in hiring character and teach skill.
Yeah. We're going to go down that path as well.
Man, the reason, like,
when
I say stuff like that, people are like, man, you're mad. Why would you going to go back on the tools? Because I generally like the guys that work for us. Mm. Like, I generally have a good relationship with them. I'd love to go and spend a few days on site with them, you know, pouring some concrete or throwing up some frames. It'd be fucking sick. They have a good time out there. But no, I'm not on the tools anymore. I do all the anything from, I run the whole financial. I still pay every invoice myself. I'll always do that.
Yeah.
Mate, down to $30 Bunnings invoices. That's one thing I've seen too much shit go wrong with guys. They get too big and they can't control those sort of stuff.
That's it, yeah.
Everything preliminary contract-wise on our contract jobs with our clients. You know, I work through 6 to 8 months before we start on site, just make sure everything's ironed out.
Yeah.
Then I'll pass it over to Steve, who does all the construction management. He takes over the builds on the day-to-day.
He runs it, yeah.
Pretty well, yeah. I'll do a site acquisition, all the feasos on developments, design on developments, all that sort of jazz.
Massive, yeah.
So I kind of look after the umbrella of the company.
Yeah.
Steve probably does the harder work. He's got to deal with the subbies and all that sort of jazz every single day. But yeah, all in all, that's 22 general staff, six in the office, rest are in the field.
Yeah.
It's a good balance, man. Like too much more than that, you get a bit, lose a bit of control.
But so like obviously that sound like that, like to guys that are listening, that's established now. Like you guys are rock solid. But hey, it's taken, you know what I mean?
Put it this way. Ages. Well, put it this way, man. I was 21 in 2019.
Yeah.
And I culled 11 in 1 year.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I'd had enough. I thought having this, I was always big on like turnover is everything, but it's not fucking turnover. No. It's what's left over.
Yeah.
So you can run a company of 21 guys and you might be building, you know, $10, $15 million a year of work, making fucking 2% margin because you got three jobs going to shit and two going really well. So I had that kind of. I had a few things in 2019, like every single builder or anyone in the construction industry would have had.
Yeah.
And I just said, man, this is, my structure's fucked.
Yeah.
Like I got 21 people. No one knows who's who. Everyone's just fucking running around like headless chicken. It's just fucking chaos. So
just,
I just,
mate, was it just you? Like, did you have office staff at that point? Had an admin.
I had a few. Yeah. I kind of was a bit top heavy on the site side of things. I didn't have a lot of structure on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, you'd put on a guy and then his mate want a job and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, give him a job. And then his mate want a job and you've got all these people working for you. And you're like, fuck, no, let me know half these guys. Let me know who they are.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just culled, did a massive cull. Everyone was like, what are you doing? You're mad. And I was like, doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Went back to kind of like 12 core, core people. I kind of had like a ladder and just cut the ladder off in half and anyone under that just kind of went.
Yeah, that's it.
Restructured for another 12 months.
Yeah.
Kind of one person every 3 or 4. I knew what I needed then. I knew what I was missing, the holes that needed to be filled.
Yeah.
Got a little bit more balance with management and admin side to the field side.
Yeah.
And we've just slowly worked up
to systems and processes and all this other shit that no one fucking thinks about.
It's the most important thing, bro. Like,
you know what I mean? That's all the rest of it. Like personally, like for us, that's sort of the journey that we've sort of been on. Like back in 2018, 2019, like I think we got up to the height of like 16 guys.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, I had no office staff, nothing. Like mind you, I was still working out of my parent, I was still working out of like my now father-in-law's house, just on a little fucking IKEA desk. So you could just imagine, I was on site, had all these guys, I was fucking just running around. And same sort of thing, but I culled like hard.
Yeah.
I went right back down to I think like 4 or 5 guys. Yeah.
And, and sometimes that's, you get a bit, people get a bit complacent.
Yeah.
And then when they see a ladder of 11 people just get cut, you watch everyone just run.
Yeah.
Everyone picks up their, pulls their socks up.
But you go through waves, I feel like, as well. As an employer, you go through waves where it's an employee market, you know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes it's their market. So you fucking, you see that, oh, you know, I'm better. Oh, you need me sort of situation. These are all the things that you got to go through 100%. On a daily fucking basis. But anyway, so I culled really, really hard. And then, ever since then, I've been on, you know, a bit of a different trajectory. You know what I mean? I'm no longer on site, have office staff.
Yeah.
And then same thing. We've been a little bit harsher on it now, only because we've got a big year next year. So I've been trying to build the team up. But we've been like every maybe month or 2 months, I've been new guy. Yeah. Sweet. And it's basically just been able to see what you need and that sort of stuff. But you
can't see the holes until you kind of...
But I guess that's one of those things. It's never a straight line. And I feel you guys that are sort of wanting to jump on that path, or whether it's developments, whether it's just building your own company, it's never a fucking straight line. And I feel like no matter what, I literally had the conversation with the guys this morning in regards to like going, like me losing some guys to go to the mines and all this sort of stuff. Doesn't fucking matter if you guys listen to us, whatever it is, no one is ever, you're never going to listen to anyone. Some of the lessons you sort of have to walk yourself. Like for me, I always, same thing, I was chasing Rev. I always thought more guys meant more money. And that's what I always thought. And no matter what anyone fucking said to me, if I heard a guy on a fucking podcast or an audiobook. Oh, you know, you're chasing profit. You need to know your numbers. You need to know this. You need to know that. I didn't listen to nothing. No. I was like, oh, yeah, what the fucking, there's money in the account. There's money going out, money going in. And yeah, sure enough, it just hit me. And it wasn't, well, it was never a case of like that I owed anyone money. Everyone got paid. It was never that. I never fucking ended up with a tax bill. Mm. Everything was sweet. It was just, I just burnt it out.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, man, everyone that says, oh, I started a business, I'm a fucking millionaire, it's been sweet the whole time, but I've never had money problems, a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Straight up liar. Man, I'm
you sit on the edge of the bed, fucking shaking.
Mate, I've had fucking nights where I've literally just gone and laid and stared at my ceiling, just thinking, like, where's the money coming from? Like, I got all these bills, and it doesn't matter what you do, man. Like, you just, this is the shit that you don't hear, but everyone paints this picture about being, this is how you do it, and you listen to all these fucking people who tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like, man, the only way, the best lessons that I've learned are the ones I've fucked up. Yeah. Like, I made a fuck up and I fixed that fuck up because I'm resilient about it. It took me 7 years to get my business to be, you know, I always made a bit of money at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But like, man, honestly, it took me 7 or 8 years to actually start making decent coins.
Yeah. To make actual money that you know that's actually made.
Because 100%.
I feel, what's the saying? Like, they say, oh, it takes, you know, 5 years before you make it. I reckon it's like 15, 20 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To really lay a fucking solid foundation for then people to look at you and go, oh, you know, how did you do that? You know what I mean? But by the time you're on your fucking 15th, 20th year, you're not remembering. Like, you don't really remember the nuts and the bolts at the start.
No. But yeah, and your whole life's changed.
Oh, yeah. Like, everything's changed. But I feel it was the same with us. Like, I used to always think at the end of the year when you see the money, like, oh, that's how much I made, whatever. But it literally does take that first, like, 6, 7, 8 years to you to then get the figure and then be like, okay, this is how much I actually made.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to go out and buy a fucking Rolex.
100%. Right?
And all this sort of stuff.
It's like, exactly. And I had this conversation with one of my best mates who's a decent sized developer.
Yeah.
And he's 4 or 5 years older than me, but it's the same shit. You're like, okay, I made this much money this year. Fuck yeah, that's sick. But then you've got goals to grow your business and to do more things. So you could make X amount of money and think, wow, that's 3 times more than I thought I was going to make. But I'm telling you right now, 85% of that money that you made just goes into getting to the next level and then to the next level, and you're almost on this rat wheel.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. You can just keep making money, keep making money, keep making money. It's not sitting in your pocket.
Mm.
And this is what I try and explain to some people who ask me for a bit of advice. And I say, man, the hardest thing is you'll go 6, 7 years making no money. Mm. Then you'll make money 7 or 8 years and you'll think you're a fucking millionaire and you'll go and spend it all and just fuck it.
Yeah,
so this is, it's, you'll, whenever you make, my thing is now, this is why I pay all my basses. I do all my tax, all that sort of shit every month now, not quarterly.
Yeah.
Comes in and I fucking pay it straight away.
Yeah.
Because you sit there and you think, oh, this is sick. I'm fucking making all this money and I got all this money in my bank account. You start to get complacent. As soon as you get complacent, you get fucked.
Mm.
That's just my way of doing it. And that's just my raw thought about it.
I always think about it like there's been bigger guys that have fallen. Like we've seen it over the last, like you would know the news all the time. Like over the last few years, there has been bigger companies gone overnight, you know what I mean? So it can really happen to anyone, but
20 years to grow, 1 month to die.
Oh yeah, legit. Like, and it's a scary thought, but that's what like puts a little bit of thing on my back, and it's like, okay, like you just got to do the right thing and don't be complacent.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. Like, but tell us, how have you managed that? Because not everyone that starts a business, right, has that mentality of like paying these guys first, doing the right thing first. Like, was that sort of a thing that you're like, you know?
Yeah, like
your dad and all that. Like, was that sort of like in the family sort of thing? Like that sort of mentality? Because that a lot of guys don't talk about that either.
No.
You know what I mean? Like for me, I've always been the guy to, I'll pay everyone. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'll pay every single guy first, and if I got 2 cents to rub together at the end of the day, I'm a happy man.
That's just being a good person. That has nothing to do with running a business. Mm. That has nothing to do with being a good builder. That has nothing to do with anything like that. That's just generally being a fucking good person.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, morals mean more than fucking success. That's my opinion of it. Mm. And I'm the same thing, mate. Like, if I'm dying on my ass because I've got no money left, but some fucking poor guy's been working his ass off to make money to put some food on the table for his family.
Mm.
And I fuck up because I take responsibility. Because we're the ones that want to go and make all the money.
Yeah.
But if we fuck up, then it's like, oh, well, I wanted to make all the money, but I didn't. So now you're fucking dying. Mm. That's not how I see it.
Mm.
The way I see it is if you're going to come into an agreement with someone and they do the right job, don't get me wrong. Like, there is a very rare time that I will either push back on paying someone, or I'll say, mate, you fucked me here. Mm. Like, you didn't turn up. You've cost me a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
I'll rarely do that.
Yeah.
But there also comes a time in business where you can't just get fucking pushed around.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah, that's...
But if someone's genuinely tried their hardest, they've come to work every single day, they've turned up, they've had a fucking crack, and you've made no money, that doesn't mean they don't make money. That just means you fucked up, you take responsibility for it, pay the poor guy, and that's it, they move on. And I've seen it heaps. I've seen it heaps recently, man. I talk to the guys because they're subbies and they're tradies, and they go, mate... He just fucking won't answer my calls. Or
dogs me out.
He's gone to shit. Yeah, he's gone to shit. And fucking, he's still driving around in his car that he has. He's still living in his fucking house. But he can't pay me $3,000. Like,
it's chump.
So yeah, I'm the same, man. It's just being a good human. That's not being a fucking good builder or a good businessman. That's just having moral.
All right, guys. Congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode. Probably one of the biggest things, and you would have gone through it too, because like you've had every transition under the fucking sun from on an ale bag to where you are now. But it's like one of the biggest transitions recently that I've had is, you know, because I've only recently in the last couple of years gone off the tools completely. Like don't see the guys on site at all. Might see him once a week if I'm lucky. So I really lean on the management and stuff of the guys on site. But basically, as we've grown, my drive has changed. Where, you know, I have more drive now than I did ever before, because I've got all these guys that have got families and stuff underneath me. And when I think about that, like, when I go through really shit times and I think about it, I'm like, okay, well, this guy's got two young kids. He relies on his job. His wife's on maternity leave. Like, these are all the things that fucking play into my head, but it's a double-edged sword. I use it for motivation, but then on the other side, when, you know, when shit's going... Yeah, dude, it's a lot of pressure. So, and I try not to, you know, let myself get like that. And but for me, like, when I made that transition, and I'm interested to know how your transition went to being... I'm assuming you were still on the tools and that, you know, your business partner or that arrangement. But for me, the transition was basically, you know, I had a talk with my key guys. I said, listen, this is my plan for the next 12 to 18 months. They bought into the vision. They bought into what we were doing. And it was just basically a lot of trust in them. But then that was me basically being like, okay, these boys are fucking busting their ass wherever they are, doing whatever I say. They're going hard. I've got a responsibility now to make sure that I keep the work consistent, build the pipeline up. Because when I was, I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but when I was when I was a tradie and I used to work underneath the guy or whatever, one of the biggest things that I could never fathom was when the owner would come up and say, hey boys, haven't got any work next week. Sorry, I'm gonna have to let you guys go. But then I would say to one of the other guys, I'd be like, well, what the fuck was he doing? Like, he's not here. What's he doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. His job is to build the fucking pipeline and to make sure we keep the work. So that was almost like a kick in the guts to me, and that's why I was sort of just like... But anyway, that was my experience with it. But how did you go with that transition from being on the...
Honestly, man, that's like exactly the same. Mm. So, I am similar when I run my business in the fact that I don't just have 22 employees or however, like, you know, they come and go. I don't have employees. I have people that are my responsibility. The same thing as what you did. I built that core 3 or 4 guys and I did the exact same thing. I said, like, this is who I am. This is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. You know, I understand that you're going to go and earn more money somewhere else, or you're going to work an easier job, whatever it may be. Right. I get that. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to think of you any less. But I said, this is what I want to do, and this is where I feel like we can go. Not me. I'm not going there in 10 years. We're going there in 10 years. This is what we're going to do. And I still do this every single day. I literally had a meeting with
you. Literally got two of the boys you sell the vision. Yeah,
and I said, man, like, this isn't just about me. Like, it's not... I can't do this by myself. That's why I have all of you guys to work together as a team. And I say, this is where I want to go. This is how we're going to get there. I just need to... you need to have a bit of patience with me. I'm learning on the run a little bit. You know, we haven't been there, done that. There'll be days where, you know, I might make a fuck up here and there.
Yeah.
One thing that I have made sure that I don't do is that thing. And I don't turn up and I go, listen, guys, I fucked up. Forgot to order a bunch of timber. Yeah. Got nothing for you next week. It's not, I don't do that shit because I know other guys that do it. Mate, I guess it's double-edged sword, like you said. I'm also the type of guy to be like, not be like, oh, hey, come and mow my grass at my house, because that's my fucking job. I'm the man of the house. I mow my own grass.
Yeah, who was it? There was one guy we spoke to recently. recently, and he was like, yeah, he did the same. His boss, his guy used to be like, oh, like, go in the kitchen and wash his dishes, and like he'd be vacuuming the lounge room, and his wife would be in there. And I was like, what the fuck?
Mate, you're a fucking man of your own house. You do that shit. That's you.
What is going on right now?
But you know, I'll make the boys just. Honestly, man, like just something small. I'll make them fucking sharpen their chisels for a fucking day. Or I'll make them service their own tools, and I'll pay them to do it, or I'll clean the shed out. There's always something to do.
Yeah, 100%.
Clean the fucking job site until you can eat off the floor. I don't care. Yeah, exactly. I like a clean job site regardless.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I've probably spent, mate. It'd make me feel sick if I went back over 11 years of business and worked out how many wages I've paid for shit that I didn't need done.
Mm.
But I've just done it because it's the right thing to do as a responsibility. Carpentry
labor is always the number one blowout.
100%.
If you ask any builder, any developer, whoever it is,
every
carpentry labor, every fucking time, it fucking blows out every time. Mm.
But I mean, you're right. You take the responsibility on to have these guys. They're kind of like, they're you. They're your fucking, they're your dudes. That's your chicks. Like you gotta, if you don't have the work, that's your fucking problem.
Yeah.
You can't just leave them high and dry. But I did the same thing. Yeah. Pretty well, back to your question, I just picked a couple of guys, two guys in particular, and I just said, man, this is where I want to go.
Was like, one of them your business partner
He is now, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And, so how did... Sorry, I'll go back to that.
Because
I'm interested about that.
Yeah, so we kind of just did... Like, he kind of... He was a lot green. Like, he's a fucking weapon. He's a robot. He just... This guy just knows everything about everything. He's baby face, 32 years old, looks like he's fucking 20. Everyone's like, who's this guy? I'm like, mate, just give him a chance, trust me. And mate, he's like an encyclopedia for building shit. He's a sponge, it's just everything. He loves it.
Yeah.
And he just cruised with me. We just did kind of one or two jobs at once.
Yeah.
We built up the bigger ones.
Yeah. So was he an apprentice of yours? Was he a qualified guy? Was he a mate? Or did he just...
No, he was a qualified chip. To be honest with you, I had three guys, right? So this actually takes kind of... going back on what I said, but I had three guys. I had two guys and then this guy, and then I said, fuck, we need another guy. This guy came on. And we were about a week from starting, mate, this would have been probably 2 years in business, and we were a week from starting a $1.4 million reno, one of our first, second job.
Yeah.
Back then, that was a decent-sized job.
Yeah, you guys were ramping up,
ready to go.
Yeah.
And, mate, I signed a contract, bit young, bit naive, bit dumb, didn't really... look into it that much.
You thought, fuck, this is how much we're going to make.
We're fucking ripping it. This is awesome. And then the day we signed the contract, the next day after we signed the contract, I paid my insurances, QBCC, Q-Leave to get BA, and I demobed everything to site before BA. And the next week, the guy rings me and he goes, I'm pulling the pin. I said, oh, fuck, what do you mean? He goes, I've had something come up. I'm going to sell the block and move somewhere else.
Oh,
and I said,
no way.
Mate, I've just paid like 30 grand worth of insurance. Yeah. I've got fucking site fences. I've just demobed. And he said, oh, it's not my problem kind of thing. Bit like that. And I said, oh, fuck. So I got three guys that I'm like, shit. Like, we're literally booked out for the next 10 months on this job.
Yeah.
So fast track a little bit. I kind of got myself into a position where I was like, fuck. So I actually found, I picked one of them who I just saw a bit more potential in.
So wait, that job didn't actually eventuate?
No. Nah.
So you fucking...
Shit got canned on me last minute, paid insurance.
So what happened with the insurance? Did you get it back?
No, contract. I didn't get my deposit paid. I was a bit stupid. I was just fucking keen.
Yeah.
But again,
there you go, boys. There's a story for you.
Yeah, you learn. It's not the last one, trust me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I saw a lot of potential in this guy, Steve, who's my business partner now.
Yeah.
And I just said, I think I said to my missus at the time, I said, fuck, this guy is like me. He's just keen. He loves it. He turns up at fucking 6 o'clock for a 6:30 start. He's there every day. And I just said to him, mate, just come with me. I found a job. I actually found a job for the other two boys. I said, guys, there's nothing I can do about it. So I found them a job with someone else.
Yeah. Well, that's fucking fair enough.
I think they stayed for a while. Yeah. So I never left them behind. I just said, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
I ended up picking up a half decent job, 700, 800 grand build. Wasn't a bad job. There's a little house that me and Steve kind of plod along for. Yeah. I was on the tools at the time, kind of showed him some shit. He showed me some shit.
Yeah.
Got to the end of that, and then just everything kind of rolled.
Yeah.
And I just picked up this big Sean Lockyer job.
Yeah.
Which is a massive reno in Ascot. And then as soon as I got onto that, names started getting out there, a bit of branding, and then you get another one, you're like, fuck, this is sick.
And then it snowballs.
And everything rolled on from that. So I probably did 4 years, I reckon, on the ground with the boys.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years, and I started to transition out. then Steve obviously started running one, and I had another guy running another one.
Yeah.
And I was managing both of them. I was always on the ground. Like, I liked getting there. And it's probably my worst night. I was probably the worst nightmare of a boss because I was like in there and kind of half
the hardest part. The hardest transition part for me was when I wasn't there all the time. When I just come in for like five, 6 hours, and then the boys would be like, and then one of my key guys pulled me aside and he's like, wait, listen.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. He's like, listen, the guys, you know, I get it that you want to be here, but we're more productive when you're not here. Yeah, because you just fuck up. Like, the you know, people don't answer to him then. They answer to you. You're the boss. Like,
everyone gets confused. Sort of,
exactly, the hierarchy, yeah. So
I used to stand there. I used to be like, oh, I'll come help the boys out because I used to think it was the right thing to do. They'd be up on scaffold. I'd be cutting linear boards for them. My fucking phone rings. And I just walk away. And they're standing there waiting for me to cut it. 10 minutes on the phone. They come back and they're like, man, just what are you doing? Like,
just fuck off.
Yeah, it's pretty much get more done without me. So, yeah, pretty well from there, man. Like 4 years of on the ground, and then I just transitioned out 5-6 years of just learning how to run. Man, I learned a lot about financials and shit. Like, I've always been shit kid. Didn't really listen much at school.
That's a whole that's the development side.
But I've always been I've always been fairly good with numbers. Like, I've always kind of It's just one of those things. You know, everyone's kind of got that one thing that you wouldn't expect them to have. I just like numbers. I just did it. So that's when I started learning financials and all that sort of shit.
Fizos and all
profit loss, thing, like the shit you don't learn at school, which you fucking how to do your I don't even know what a BAS was. Someone would be like, oh, you gotta pay my account. It's like, you gotta pay a BAS, and you're like, the fuck's that? And you're like, oh, your GST, and you're like,
oh, yeah,
I thought that fucking was mine. I 10% on top of my bills. I was like, sweet, fucking. Then you get a BAS bill,
and
like
it goes up, and then you fuck it, and then every and then the government then switches on you and then puts you in a monthly, and
yeah, you payroll tax and all sorts of shit, but yeah, kind of fast tracking forward. The last 5 years has just been me. Really just building this brand and base and opening the development arm up as well.
Yeah. So what's your ratio at the moment, developments, client builds?
We just finished off a development that we sold, that we've settled on last week. So right now we got four client contract jobs.
Yep.
They kind of span between 6 to 12 million each. So they're decent sized contract jobs.
Yeah.
And then I've got a subdivision and four houses and another on the go at the moment, doing all the civil work, and then I've got another DA. We're about to do a DA on another high-end development in New Farm. So probably like 60-40.
Yeah.
But I'll
what's
drop
your plan? Like, what's your plan as you move forward? Are you wanting to like,
To be brutally honest with you, I actually, it's probably the one thing at the moment. I'm a very confident person. And I know what I want, and I stick to a plan.
Mm.
But at the moment, man, it's very hard for me to. I've built this baby up of my contract job for clients and architects and stuff. And, you know, it's a, I wouldn't say it's risk-free, but, you know, we get paid every month and it's a good, we are well-known and we don't really tend to work and fight for work from other people. So it's really hard for me to back that off.
Mm.
But I mean, I've always wanted to be just development, to be honest. But then you do a few developments and you don't get paid for fucking 2 years and you're like, holy shit, mate, I need this little cash cow every month.
100%.
So honestly, 50-50 is probably where I reckon I'll be.
Yeah, sweet.
And I just
it's good as well, the way, like, depending on how you want to look at it, you know what I mean? Because if you still have the client stuff, those clients, you do a good job by them, they talk to people, and that's 100%. A good, you know, good reference, stuff like that. If you go solely developments, other than the final product, you know what I mean?
You're starting to get, and I've seen it a few, because people can't handle, a lot of guys don't want to deal with clients because, like, they're emotionally attached to these houses. Yeah. I get that. It's their family homes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just have enough and they just get fed up and then they just go down into the development side of things and they're literally throwing all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah, we notice, like, I guess the guys that we deal with anyway, the developers on that side, is they're like very cash heavy so they can afford it. But yeah they've solely probably two of the largest, you know, multi-residential builders in Brisbane, developers. They're, you know, they've decided to go solely, you know, just clients. Like, sorry. So how they're doing their developments now is they'll finish, like, they'll build them themselves and then they'll sell the finished product.
Yeah.
They don't want to put them to contract. They don't even, we've even had it, like, I've only been told through them, but I've even heard that, you know, people will see it from the street. They'll ring up, they'll say, oh, they'll pay above market for it. Nah. They'll wait. They'll just hold the stock. You know what I mean? They'll literally hold, we finish one in Chermside, a pack of 10. They'll hold that stock for, like, you know, until the market's ready. And I'm like, how? Yeah, like,
it's because those old school guys have got the capital. Like, they've got capital. They're not, they don't have any holding costs and shit. But in the reason for that is because a lot of FISOs aren't stacking up. Like, you can't buy a block of land for what you used to be able to buy a block of land for. You can't build the fucking product for what you used to be able to build the product for. So you're like inflated here and inflated here. Yes, the sales are going up, but man, like, honestly, there's a cap with the sales. So I think this is where people go into just development, and then they go, oh fuck, I've just done 2 years of development, I've got $10 million worth of funding from the bank, and I can't sell any of this shit. They can only hold that for so long. You're paying the bank back every single month. So that's kind of why I'm like, this, my cash flow side of the business is really
good. Yeah.
Because you don't have to rush to sell shit. Because when you're rushed to, or when you're stress selling, that's when developers get fucked. Like, you're stress selling, like, because you're like, I need to sell this because the bank's coming for my fucking shit every single month. So I have to sell this. So you just sell it at ransom almost to just pay out what you got. And you've just spent 2 years developing something.
For fucking nothing.
For fucking nothing.
Yeah.
So
beautiful product.
Yeah, 100%. Did it for nothing. Fuck, awesome, man. That's sick. Okay, everyone's going to build a beautiful product. So, 50-50, mate, to answer that question in full, I think is my happy medium. And that'll, it just balances on market. So if the market, sales market's not as strong, I mean, you look at Sydney and Melbourne, they're not that good at the moment. So 6 months is usually a bit of a lag. We might, I'm not saying it, I don't want to, but we might hit a wall in 6 months or so. I'll just take on another contract work.
Yeah.
Being diverse.
But you
like
can
that.
Forecast this. And I guess that's one of those things as well, as you go through business, you know, especially at your level, you'll fucking see, you know, within reason, you don't know the fucking future, but you'll be able to forecast, you know what I mean? Like 6, 12, 18 months ahead, you'll know like, okay, well, this is what we sort of got dwindling.
And that's being in the network, but like, that's probably another thing I've had to learn recently is I'm a bit of a boys boy. I like the young guys. I like to go and have a beer with the boys. But like, when you're getting into a space like this, most of these people are business owners, entrepreneurs, lawyers, they're a lot older than we are. Like,
you're not going to catch them down at the Combsley slapping the pokies, you know what I mean?
Kind of got to veer away my thing is, and I say this to, I guess, all my personal connections is, I like to be that guy that can literally be out having a beer with the boys 1 minute, just walk out of that into a professional meeting, be a professional person. That's my thing. I'm not two-faced or anything like that, but I know when I can turn on and turn off. Because you don't want to be, I see a lot of guys, they're like us, and they're good. They have beers with the boys, and they do all that sort of shit. Then they get wrapped up in this wave of being a property developer, and they're like too good for you, and you're like, you're fucking one of us, man. You were just literally, you're actually worse than us. I've seen you, you know?
Man, yeah.
So
100%.
I just like to be myself. I'd be raw, mate. Like, you got to know what you're doing and who you're with, but just be true to who you are, man. Don't change for anyone.
No, 100%. No, I love that. You know, that's the same. Like, I'm probably the most like down to earth guy out there. You know, I don't hang out with my guys as much as I'd like to. They all play golf every Friday. They go out beers and all that sort of stuff. Like, I don't get to do that.
Good business,
you know, and it's just one of those things where I always say to them, like, and it's the same. You would go through the same thing. Like, I got guys coming up, because I like to build from within. So the guys that I got on the ground, I like to give them, you know, promotions and step them up. And, you know, one of my other guys, he's transitioning as, you know, another estimator and stuff. So I've explained to him, listen, as you transition up, not that you need to fully get rid of, you know, catch on with the boys every Friday and stuff like that, but the relationship changes. And I guess it's one thing that a lot of guys don't really touch on is that relationship. It doesn't have to be like, as I explained to him, it didn't have to be like a complete not coming, but you just need to, like, it has
friends
to,
boss.
Yeah, exactly. It has to change because then I feel like you lose the respect of the guys if it doesn't and all that sort of stuff.
100%.
Yeah. So, all right. Where are we? How are we traveling? Oh, we're going good. All right.
Rolling.
Yeah, we're rolling. No, this has been actually really good. I feel like
veering off, you just tell me.
Oh, no, I feel like a lot of guys are getting some good value out of it. So I am not fazed at all. I feel like we've just missed a lot of groundwork that, you know, we haven't got enough time. But
that's all good.
Anyway, I'll keep chugging these out and we'll see how we go. All right. So talk to us a little bit about your, you know, back on the personal home front now and how you've been able to manage stress and all that sort of stuff. You know, because it's not a fuck. You sit here now, you know, and you're smiling and everything like that. But we guarantee there's shit going on behind the scenes. But talk to us about how you've been able to manage that from when you were a chippy, running, you know, the high, then you culled a bunch of guys, then you've gone up, gone down, finances, fucking banks ringing you up, one of your money, progress payments, all the rest of it. Like, what have been some key things for you to been able to just ground you and, like, you know, has that been your family and stuff like that? Fitness, obviously, you look after yourself, you know?
Yeah, so man, my missus is a full trooper. She's been through it all. She's seen me there. She's seen me there. Man, she's seen me in tears in the shower on the ground.
Say to my missus, because she's like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, sometimes she'd be like, oh, I don't feel like I'm involved. Because like we're making a lot of moves. Yeah. Right? I always say to her, listen, you have probably the most important job because I consult with her about the big issues.
Yeah.
Right? She doesn't hear about all the mundane things, the shitty stuff, right? But when I'm like sitting on the bed sweating and shaking, or if I've got a big decision to make of some sort, that's who I consult with. Yeah. So I always say to her, no, you're my consultant, you know what I mean? But anyway.
Just leave the shit at the door, you get the good stuff. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably, like you said, what's your drive and your motivation? Mm. That's mine, because you only get so far wanting to be the best person that you can be and being like growing what you've created, and then you start doing it for other people. So I got a 2-year-old boy, 2.5.
Yeah.
Another one on the way.
Exciting.
And my missus, man. Like, you walk in the door every day after 12 hours and your kid fucking runs to you. And you love it. That's completely my everything.
Figure. Yeah. How crazy is it though? Like, because I got 2 girls, right? I couldn't even imagine what it was like before kids. Like, now, it's like, everyone says you don't understand until you have kids. For 100%. Me, it was like night and day. Like, one now when I get home, it's complete. Like, don't get me wrong, I still got shit going on. My phone still rings, whatever. But I'm able a lot more to like just.
Well, you go from doing everything for you to doing everything for someone else. Yeah. Like, I'm the last person I think of now. But I'll be honest, I was the first person I thought of. How can I get better? How can I do this? How can I make more money? How can I do that? And now you're like, fuck, I just want to give these people everything because that's my rock.
Yeah.
I'm a very routine and structured kind of person. I train every single day at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's my hour that I get to myself. I don't fucking do anything else other than train.
Yeah.
I don't fuck around talking. I don't answer my phone. Yeah. I don't do that shit because...
Yeah, I love that.
Not because I don't want to, just because when I get home from work, the last thing I want to do is be so fucking tired or so worn out that I'm not a dad, I'm not a husband.
Yeah.
So I get home from work, I leave my house at 5 o'clock every single day.
Yeah.
I walk in my front door most of the time between 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But my thing is, and I'm like, in between those hours, I am like nonstop.
Yeah.
I fucking get there. I work with purpose. I don't fuck around. I don't do something I don't just sit there for the sake of sitting there. I'm fucking purpose orientated.
Yeah.
When I walk in that door, this is probably the hardest thing that I've realized, I guess, balance is just shutting off entirely. Because I'm always going, I'm always thinking. Walking in that door is like the time that I give that hour to my kid, hour to my wife of just fucking pure me.
Yeah.
This is who I am. I'm in the moment. I'm not, you know, my wife will probably disagree with that, but
you try your best.
I try my best.
On any given day, like, it is hard, and I feel like you go through waves where weeks you'll be really good, and then weeks not so much. Yeah. But you're just doing the best that you can each
day.
Pretty
much. But that's like it's all structure, man. Like, I actually find if I don't do the same thing each morning before I start work, I actually feel like I'm a slower person during the day. I'm
100%.
I'm not thinking straight. Doesn't matter how stressed I am.
Yeah.
You know, that's my purpose. That's the way I do shit. I do the same thing every single day. I get home, I try and be there. I try and be present.
Yeah.
You know, there comes times where I get home at 8 o'clock at night when I'm really, really busy. And then there'll come times where I get home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do more shit. You just got to, I've always been like that. When I met my wife, my girlfriend at the time, I have always been the same. I've always worked hard. Going back to the old school mentality, man. Like, my school holidays were fucking pouring concrete, man. Yeah. It was fucked. I hated it. But now I'm like, that's all I know.
Yeah.
So now I'm a genuinely hardworking person because I'm a good fucking human. Yeah, that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
I don't like to half-ass anything. I don't like to be lazy. But I just have structure. And I find it kind of, you do it. I know it sounds like the same shit every single day.
Yeah.
But I mean,
oh man, you jump on Instagram, you know what I mean? Ice bath in the morning. You know what I mean? Have a shot of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah. Who the fuck has time to do that?
Like, oh man, it's crazy. Like, I've like this year, like, it's been very structured for me as well. And like, it's been one of those things where I've just dialed right in. Like, I quit out, like, I stopped drinking.
Yeah.
Like, it was just one of those things that I wanted to try this year, and it's fucking But it's been really good. But yeah, like, same.
Wish I could do that.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. Oh, it was just one of those things. I set myself in January. I go down to Melbourne. I go down to a conference and I do that. When this comes out, I would have already been. And yeah, man, I basically set myself a thing, and it's been a massive game changer for me.
Yeah.
It's just enabled me to stay fucking focused, and You know, has it been difficult? Has it been fucking crazy sometimes? Yes, but it's just really, really helped. Mm. And yeah, same thing. Very well structured in the morning. If I don't do the normal things that I need to do, and it can be the most smallest thing, like laying my clothes out, putting my socks out, like the most minuscule thing.
Yeah.
If I don't do that, I feel like it cooks my next day. Yeah. So I just do that. It takes me like 10 minutes at night to get it done, and then I do it.
That's just, I brought that. I brought something into my business with my management crew, and I call it the hour of power. Mm. And that's 6:30 till 7:30 in the morning.
Mm.
And I say, mainly to the boys on site, I say, I'm telling you right now, you fuck that hour of power and your day's fucked. And they say, when people start, they go, what do you mean? I say, well, if you set that hour of power up, if you pump that hour of power and everyone knows what they've got to do for the next 8-9 hours of the day, your day will cruise. Like you're just all neck up. You don't have to use any brawn.
Mm.
But if you fuck that first hour it's and cooked, you've just got people cruising in when they want and everyone's kind of blasé about it, you get to 8 o'clock, no one's done anything. Nothing's structured. Mm. So it just fucks you for the next 8 to 10 hours of the day anyway.
I'm going to steal that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Hour of power. Yeah, 6:30 till 7:30. Sets you up.
Because it is so true. Like yeah. I used to, when I was on site, it was the same thing, but I didn't obviously have a name for it. It was just, when I was there, I was dialed from that like 6:30 to 8 o'clock mark. And I always used to say to the guys on site, if we do well in the morning, if the morning starts well, the rest of the day is a fucking breeze. But 100%. If you get cooked in the morning, it's done.
Checks your ass.
One of the other things that I just want to touch on as well is I want to know your thoughts with it and your experience with it. But I really struggled with the whole, when I made that transition and all that sort of stuff. I really struggled with, because going back to what you were saying about leaving and then getting back home, I always used to struggle with, oh, well, I need to do my 38 hours, my 40 hours, whatever it is, right? And if I didn't, if I wasn't at the desk or if I wasn't, sitting down and estimating or doing whatever, I would feel guilty. The guilt in myself, I would feel guilty like I've, cheated myself or something like that. And then I'd get home and I'd be like, oh, I'm fucking lazy and all that sort of stuff. So like for me this whole year, like I've started to realize like I can do 6 hours, 7 hours, and I can get, if I fucking go real hard in that 6-7 hour block, I can get like 12 hours of work done, without all the fluff.
6 hours of production is better than 10 hours of fucking shit.
Yeah, legit.
I do find it hard because I'm kind of the same. I feel a bit guilty and I'm like, I actually don't like leaving work if I have people at work. And that sounds fucking weird, man. You start a business, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to start a business.
You got to be the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah, you're like, man, you're walking out the door and people are still sitting there working or on the tools working. I feel guilty.
Mm.
I really do, man. And you're like, you start this business so that you can have more freedom. They're fucking stupid if you do that, man. Like anyone said, oh, man, I'm going to start a business.
You start a business so you can work more for less.
Yeah, work more for less, have more risk and take on more stress. Yeah. But it is a lot more rewarding.
Yeah,
but I'm the same, man. I get the same. You get to the end of the day. You get to like halfway through the day and you're like, oh, fuck, I've actually had a really big week. But they're not there till 8 o'clock at night when you're there. So on a Friday when you're like, I'm walking out at 12 and they're still there, you feel guilty still and you're like, fuck.
Oh, I've learned. I've sort of nailed that now. Like I used to definitely feel super guilty, but now I know like I might come in on a weekend.
Yeah.
My phone, like I'll be on my phone at 4:30 a.m. Like,
it's all the
behind the scenes stuff. So that's why like I sort of just like brush it off a little bit now. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, it is what it is. But hey, it's all good. All right. So we're cruising. I think we're nearly there. All right. So talk to us now a little bit about, we touched on just before about your plans moving forward with client and your own builds and stuff like that. Is there anything else in the works for Black Developments or anything like that? I know you guys got a really good brand. Is that your main focus now with the brand and building that even further again or not?
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, I'm just kind of trying to bulletproof it now. Mm. Like, it's not... Like, I've built the brand. It's a decent brand. People know us. We're good at what we do. We don't fuck around. We're not, we're not the high-rise. We don't have an office in the high-rise and all that sort of shit. We just work hard. Like, we're just genuine people.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, man, same as this. Like, I'm not getting paid to do this. You're not getting paid to do it. I generally like doing this sort of stuff because I was a kid who I knew what I wanted to do, but I had no direction. Mm. I was kind of like...
The resources these days is hectic to what it used to be.
Exactly.
Right?
So if I can... I've made fucking countless fuck-ups. So many mistakes, it's not funny. I'm sure everyone has.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can help some kid or even a middle-aged guy who's thinking about it, I can help him, I guess, eliminate or minimize a couple of fuck-ups because I've done it.
Even one or two, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's that. I like doing that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I guess that's why I've started taking out, like, I'm pump busy, like, don't get me wrong, but I actually do genuinely like taking time out of my day to sit down and help people, and I probably don't get to do it enough as what I would want to do. On a personal side, I think that's probably where I would like to do a bit more of going forward.
And business, I feel like, sorry to interrupt you, man, but I feel like someone in your spot, I feel like the industry needs it, you know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of guys, I'm not going to name them, there's a lot of guys in really good spots that don't, you know, open up to the broader community, to the guys that, like, because as you guys know, for every builder or developer, there's about 1,000 or 10,000 tradies, right, or chippies, right? So you can just imagine the amount of...
Well, but, yeah, I think the problem is people aren't real these days. Everyone's, everyone's just worried about what they look like and what people think of them and shit. Like, yeah, I think there just needs to be a bit more reality about the whole industry and how shit actually does happen. You know, just, you see people at the end and you're like, oh, man, that's sick. How do you do that? This is all fucking pretty. But, man, I'm telling you.
You don't know the journey.
It's the, yeah, it's the stuff you got to go through getting there. Yeah. People need to be a bit more real, in my opinion. Yeah. Anyone can look good on a fucking screen or sound good on a phone or whatever. But I mean, on a business side of things, I think I don't really want to change anything now. I like what we do. I'm
so
happy.
So you're not going to grow any further? Like,
Not so much. I mean, we started going to a few subdivision type work on the side. Mainly just a good mate of mine does it, and it's just another, I guess, another avenue. So we've kind of got our contract stuff, which is high-end architectural. Just honing our guys. Like, I spend a lot of, Steve and I both spend a lot of time and effort on our guys. Like, we don't just hire people just to fucking go and lug shit around. We actually hire people because they genuinely seem like they're good people. They want to learn. So we'll invest a shitload of time into, like, training these guys up. I've had guys come to me. I got one in particular. He's the hardest working, fittest dude I've ever met. He's fucking awesome. He's a young fella. His name's Joshy, if he's watching this one. And I don't like to, you know, tier my people. Everyone's kind of the same. But, man, this kid is just genuinely fucking hardworking every single day. Man, he doesn't walk slowly. He doesn't do anything without purpose. He just works hard. And he came to me probably 2 years ago, I think now. Confident young kid. I can do this. I can do that. I'm ready to run jobs, all this sort of shit. I said, man, I'll give you a crack because you're a good guy. Come back to me in 6 months after we start and then tell me how good you are. And I put him with one of my better guys, one of my site managers who's very good. And Joshy came back to me after 6 months and just said, oh, fuck.
I got a lot to learn.
I'm not, I'm not quite there, which is what I wanted him to do because I didn't want him to be so cocky and, you know, but someone with confidence, you can get a lot more out of them because they're already there. They just need to be shown how to do it. So, I mean, guys like that is what we need in this industry, to be honest. They're hard working, which
Dominant
is
a dozen. Fuck, it's hard to find.
Like, these guys are all fucking entitled and you can't tell them to do anything these days without telling them it's fucking too hot or there's a bit of rain or some shit like that. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. We just roll
it's
with it. But
funny world we live in.
Very funny.
But, nah, Tim, I want to thank you again for coming on. It's been a really good one and we're pretty well done, man. So, I feel like we should run this one back again in a couple of years, hopefully.
Yeah, let's do it.
And yeah, it's funny because we'll probably sit back down and you'll be like, yeah, so I've actually gone from here to there. What a peanut. I'm doing it. Yeah, so all right, man. Thank you again.
Legend.
And, yeah, hope you guys got something out of this one. So
catch you in the next one.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.